He is Robin Leach. He is Jada Markin. This is Car Keys.
And we are rolling into 2021, and car sales, especially SUV sales, are booming, as far as I can tell, across my visual observations on the road.
But that's nothing new, right?
No, it's nothing new. It just says that as Jay, I think, remarked in last week's show or a show earlier, that the sales industry is... the automotive industry is in a relatively, I think, healthy situation right now, having gone through a pretty bad time in the 2020 era for a while. But
and
I think people are spending their money on cars.
Okay, so weirdly, I just read an article, thank you, New York Times. It was in the last week in the business section that said car sales are miserable. Maybe it was the Wall Street Journal.
I don't think they're miserable at all.
I was struck by that because my outside here in the world where people are driving cars didn't seem. You can tell by license plates essentially if you're not a car.
If I can interject, the numbers are there and fourth quarter numbers are coming in, and sales are mostly up anywhere from 3 to 10% in the last quarter of 2020. It's not across the board, but it's most car companies have done really well in the last quarter. And, you know, arguably the second and third quarter were pretty miserable, so I'm sure there's there's part of that is catching up on lost sales, because the percentage of change, 3 to 10% is always relative to the same quarter of the previous year. So they're comparing fourth quarter 2020 to fourth quarter 2019. So, you know, let's see what happens in the first quarter. But yes, it is pretty good times for the automobile industry.
Well, it is in a couple of ways besides numerically. Numerically, the 2020 year was down. You know, before any recession comes in any industry, you usually have high numbers to reflect. And it didn't happen in real estate sales as well as automobile sales and lots of other sales. But automobile sales were up around 17, 18 million annually adjusted. They call them the SAR rate for a few years. I don't know where they got to 19 million, but they were talking about 16 plus or minus million this year. For 2020. And I don't know what the final figure was. Jay, you may have seen it. I haven't updated myself, but it doesn't really matter. It's just that, as Jay just mentioned, the fourth quarter was very good. The first quarter, I think, is looking good. The automobile industry, or the dealers, I think, learned something with this pandemic situation when all the plants were closed. They lost a lot of inventory, but what they gained in it, according to some of the articles I've read, were that people were buying what was available, and the dealers were able to make more profits. I don't want to go into a profit thing for our general public listenership, but it's relatively good, I think, for the automobile industry. We'll see if it continues going into the mid second quarter 2021 after we get through the first quarter. But I want to talk about what I think is going to be an exciting new vehicle for the Jeep. I saw pictures last week, the Grand Cherokee L. It's designated as, and it's a three-row, considerably enlarged version, a redesigned version of the Grand Cherokee line of Jeeps. I mentioned it to you, Jay, and I don't think you'd looked at it, but the first pictures look really interesting to me. I think for Jeep lovers, I think it's going to do very well. And it also shows that they're keeping up with modern technology. I think, Jay, you've been complaining that they were using an old platform derived from Mercedes' partnership years ago, and it was time for them to update it. I think they're doing that.
But yes, they did. I have followed a little bit and read about it. From a chassis standpoint, it is a brand new chassis. I don't know who developed the platform, if it was developed in Europe, under Fiat, under the Fiat engineering division, or if it was developed. I'm pretty sure it was mostly developed here by Fiat Chrysler here in the U.S. It looks great. Aesthetically, it looks great. I think the only disappointment I've read throughout what I've read is that mechanically that the same power plants will transfer over, and that makes sense. So, starting price seems relatively low, and I can pretty much almost guarantee that you won't find a Jeep Grand Cherokee L in the $40,000 on any lot. But that's a whole different story altogether. I also what I've read is that there is the L, so the stretched version is coming out first, and there will be a shorter version coming out in 2022, which will replace the ongoing Grand Cherokee, which is going to continue being produced through 2021. And Chrysler is notorious for doing that. They did that with their minivan. They come out with a new model, and they keep producing the outgoing model for a year or two and selling it either to fleets or
yeah, they did that with the Voyager minivan versus the and the Grand Caravan, I guess, versus the what is the current fancy one? It's called a different name, but they did it with the Ram pickups too. They have the classic Ram, and I don't know whether that's still being produced as we speak, but it was through I think much of 2020. And they were selling very well because it was a less expensive version of what became a much more expensive upgrade and updating of the Ram pickup. You could tell the difference by the grills and the features, and apparently there was powertrains were considerably upgraded in the new Ram versions of that pickup as opposed to the classic. So it is. I think it's a good way to go with some of these versions. I've read in Automotive News Europe this morning that Renault is going to bring back classic versions of its older cars. And as we know, the new Broncos coming out is going to not look exactly like the old one, but it's going to have a classic look in terms of the square, boxy look that the old Broncos and a lot of the old SUVs used to have. And I think that happened with the Land Rover Defender as well.
So if I can barge in here again, first of all, I want to talk about the Suzuki Jimny, but the Bronco is coming out as the Bronco Sport first, which is the auto body chassis version, what I call the Bronco Light, which is really reskinned Ford Escape. And that one is already in dealerships now. That is absolutely not the Ford Bronco that we will see next year that all the hype has been all about, the competitor to the Jeep Wrangler. So, you know, it's a little trick that Ford is pulling on us by putting out the Ford Bronco Sport first. But having said that... the Suzuki Jimny is a really cool vehicle. I saw a short video on Supercar Blondie, who bought one for her husband in Dubai, and a lot of export markets are getting this new Jeep Samurai, and it looks very, very much like the one we had here in the 80s and 90s, but it's a totally new vehicle, and it looks awesome. It's compact. And very unfortunately, we will not be seeing it here in the U.S., at least not in the foreseeable future.
Well, on the other end of things, Toyota is stopping the Land Cruiser, the current Land Cruiser name, from being built and also available in the United States this year. They may have already stopped production of it. I think it's going to reemerge. The article I'm reading says it may reemerge with a Lexus badge on it. Now, the current Land Cruiser is nothing like the old Land Cruisers, but they have a version badge with the Land Cruiser that they've been producing since 1953. But I think that some of these very successful model lines, such as the original Broncos and the original Defenders and the original Land Cruisers, all have room for a technological makeover, and if they can make them look like the old classic looks that so many people love, I don't know whether the new younger people feel that same way, but the Defender is showing up all over the roads in Fairfield County. And so I know that there are a lot of people that are were waiting for it and are leasing it, if not buying it. And the Bronco is going to have the same effect, I think, on people when it gets up into production, whichever model comes out. But there is room for the classic look to come back, I think. We've all been talking about egg-shaped cars for so long for the aerodynamic advantages that it's done for gas models and that kind of thing. But at the same time, I have been, at least, lamenting the fact that the rounder these body shapes get, the less functionality they have for visibility out all four sides of the vehicle, as well as functionality in terms of what you can carry in the luggage compartments of these vehicles, be they square backs or rounded backs. So, you know, it's sort of like the all industries. They revolve around, you know, car shapes change like clothes change, and eventually they start coming back to maybe something that used to exist many years ago. And we'll see whether that happens more in the car industry as we go forward into the 2020s towards the 30s. And that may or may not happen with the electric vehicles.
Hey, so another new vehicle Ford is bringing out, I just noticed over the weekend, and bringing back a nameplate as well, the Ford Maverick.
Really?
And us older people all remember the Ford Maverick of the, 1970s now? Which was a coupe and a sedan here in the U.S. And then Ford used the Maverick name for its small SUVs in Europe and probably throughout the rest of the world in the, I'm going to say, 80s and 90s. but the new 2022 Ford Maverick is coming out, and it is a smaller pickup truck. So it's it's positioned as below the
Ranger.
Ford Ranger, and probably closer in size to the original Ford Ranger that went out, stopped being produced. What was it? 4 or 5 years ago.
Right. Or those of the Ford Couriers back in last century, which were
Japanese
built.
This is a front drive based platform. So it actually is, I believe, based on a similar or derived platform from same as the Bronco Sport. But it's interesting. Small pickup truck, front wheel, or probably all-wheel drive as well. It'll be interesting to see how it does. It'll be, I don't know where it'll be built, but we'll see when it comes out.
It'll be more like the Honda Ridgeline.
Yeah, but smaller. I think it really is. It's a small vehicle. I mean, it makes sense.
Well,
I don't like the idea of a front-wheel drive pickup truck, but then again, it's not designed to haul heavy loads, so it should be just fine. And there will be an all-wheel drive version. So, interesting. See what the price is on that. And moving on to electric cars, I interrupted you, Robin. What were you going to say about electric cars?
Well, as we have been talking, the more and more electric cars are coming online, and I spent an hour in a rather large parking lot full of Kias and Hyundais this weekend, a little bit south of our broadcast area. I'd never seen such a large parking lot of vehicles, and what was notable was that there were probably 40 Hyundai Konas all lined up in a row in one section of this parking lot, and they're all electric. And I looked at the stickers of them, and they were, I think, in the mid-30s, low 40s, depending on the option packages. And what I was interested in is some of the verbiage on the stickers said you'll get 245 miles of range. Electric range with these vehicles. We know
sounds about
charging.
Right.
What?
It sounds about right.
Yeah, that's probably going to be very comparable to what the Bolt is, and whose sales are also rebounding a lot.
What's interesting too with the Hyundai and the Kia electrics, the Kona and the think of the.
I don't know what the Kia version is, but it's out.
I'm embarrassed to say. Neither do I. But those cars are still eligible for the federal tax break of $7,500. So, it's something to look into.
Well, I don't know how fast these Konas and
I've tested one. They're
certainly
fast.
Been underselling versus I think both you and I thought they were great vehicles when we test drove them a couple of years ago.
You mean how quickly they're selling, or how?
Yeah, I don't know how quickly they're going to sell.
Because the speed demon here was like, oh no, they're fast. Oh yeah, I can drive them fast. That's good.
Yes, but again, we're back to why. Here I go with drinking the Kool-Aid again. This is why Tesla does so well. They are only selling electric cars. You're not stepping in a dealership, wondering. If somebody's going to even offer to sell you an electric car.
Correct.
And I've driven by, GM dealerships where there's one lone Chevy Bolt, and, you wonder why you don't see them on the roads, or not very many. If the dealers don't peddle them, they're not going to sell. Now, we know, and we've talked about this, dealers are reluctant to embrace the electrification of cars because... it's going to change their business model radically in the next 10 to 15 years.
Well, not to mention the service department situation.
Well,
there will be so many fossil fueled or gasoline and diesel powered cars on the road for years to come that the service departments will have to be able to work at both levels. But the electric vehicles, as you have said on this show, and I have said on this show, don't need, they need a third of the work that fossil fuel vehicles do over the long, the life of ownership of them. Because as you said, if something goes wrong with the drivetrain, it's probably an electric motor that just needs to be swapped out for a new one. And there's no oil changes, no spark plugs, no any number of things related to gasoline engine cars that are just not present and will never need that kind of servicing in electric vehicles. So
did you see that did you see the rumors on the Tesla $25,000 car, though we never saw the $35,000 car?
Yeah.
And I've seen renderings of a hatchback Tesla smaller car, smaller than the Model 3, that will first be produced in China, starting in 2022.
How much of that do you think is going to be doable or achievable because of the labor rates in China, allowing a $25,000 Tesla actually hit the roads?
I don't know, I'm pretty confident we'll see a sub-$30,000 Tesla in the U.S., smaller car. How many are we going to see? I don't know. I went on a Tesla website this weekend. You can order the Plaid, the S Model S Plaid, that will be coming out in 2022 as well. And it is selling for $143,000, I think, somewhere in the 140s. So we're talking about 1,100 horsepower and 0 to 60 in 1.7 seconds.
What you can do that without bumping into 25 cars ahead of you on American roads, should you be trying to do that after taking off from a stoplight.
It's ridiculous.
Or even going onto an on-ramp on an interstate.
It's ridiculous. It is
ridiculous.
I've seen the testing on racetracks, and it looks like an RC car going around.
Sure.
The speed is just incredible.
I mean, I think isn't the ludicrous mode already allowing S's and 30s or whatever who has the ludicrous mode to get up there in under 3 seconds?
This Plaid, no, we're under, we're around 2.3 or 2.6.
With the ludicrous mode already, right?
What's that?
The ludicrous mode allows out under 3 already.
Yeah.
So 1.9
is... But the Plaid will be twice as powerful as the ludicrous.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's sort of like the 725 horsepower Ram 1500 TRX. And all these super-powered cars that can do monstrously quick 0 to 60 times, And, you know, I don't know how many people are actually going to ever use that on a regular basis, but they will buy the vehicles so that they can talk about it in the cocktail parties around the circuit.
I'd love to talk about it.
Well,
we already
I was just going to say, here's the good news. This is the circuit. Now, in the final 4 minutes of the circuit, grab your beverage and tell us how you're going to end the show.
Well, I'm going to start. I said when I texted Jay this morning, I've been looking at vehicles on the road now from a different vantage point of designs and all that, from designs and all that. I'm now looking at ground clearances as I'm following vehicles along the highways. I think about that from the standpoint of I'm driving Jeep Cherokees mainly. I have a couple of Jeep Cherokees which I drive, and of course I think in a Jeep you can go anywhere. The problem with going anywhere becomes very limited when you have a serious snowstorm and you have snow depths, whether it's in your driveway, in your private property, or out on an interstate as you're trying to get across America and you're in a blizzard. Ground clearance is the limitation which stops all vehicles. And I noticed that the Foresters, the Subaru Foresters, have seemed to have a much better ground clearance than my Jeep Cherokee does, although I think of my Jeep Cherokee as being much more all-weather ready than a Subaru Forester, which is actually incorrect. And I'm now looking at Crosstex. That's also a Subaru vehicle. And I notice underneath the middle section of the vehicles is where I'm looking at the ground clearance areas that I'm talking about right now. Because the higher, the more ground, the more airspace between the road and the bottom of the car means you've got better ground clearance for being able to go through deeper snow if you're caught in a blizzard. Not that we'll be caught in a blizzard too much, apparently, but we might. And it's interesting to me only from a technological or from a ruggedness appearance. You look at the Jeep Wranglers, and there's a lot of ground clearance with them. They've got the undercarriage of the vehicle quite far above the road, so whereas my Jeep Cherokee may have 7 inches of ground clearance, I think a Wrangler probably has more like 10 before you start worrying about whether you're going to bottom up on something. So that's my comment about what I'm doing watching cars on the roads these days. Jay, continue.
So you're looking under cars while you're driving.
I'm looking under. Well,
no, he's calculating.
You can see.
Safety tip of the week.
Keep your eye on the road.
Keep your eyes up.
Sorry.
Keep your eyes up and don't go underneath. Right?
Yes, please. That's my safety tip for the day.
It's so easy that I obviously stole it. All right.
One final thing. The other thing I've been looking at is the visibility factor of turn signals in vehicles, which we have brought up in numerous times on these shows about how invisible many of them are.
Forget that. I mean, even if they are visible, we still have to. We've got
a great deal of re-education
to do. Exactly. That's Jay's second safety tip. Keep your eyes on the road and please use your turn signal. All right. He is Robin Leach. He is Jay DeMarkin. This is Car Keys.